Welcome back to the expert series on Aligned with Purpose, and I've got Rini Cavallari here, and I am so excited for this conversation. She's in the business of helping people harness their full potential by shifting their mindset to reduce anxiety, boost performance, and improve overall quality of life. She's a speaker, a writer, strategist, leadership expert, and she's the author of
Head Trash.
I can't wait just to hear more about your book and about your speaking engagements. And so just thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to chat with you.
It's wonderful to be with you, Jamie.
Just hearing the amount of impact and just the fact that you've taken your knowledge and just you're giving back in the world. You're using that as just such a strong message. And it's clear to me that you're living your purpose, but I'm curious for you, like, how would you describe that? Like being aligned with your purpose. What does that really mean for you?
Well, I think that is actually how we find joy in our life. And I think that's the greatest definition of success, how much joy is in your life. And for me, that's how I've been able to navigate and also self-correct. I know a lot of times people say, well, I want more balance. And I find balance to be kind of an ever disappointing word for me, that when I'm aligned with my purpose and my purpose is to love myself and others and to awaken the potential of others. And so it's in this, and I think love is an important part of that, because when we're talking about awakening our potential, we're talking about change and evolution, and that's hard. And that's, you know, being self-reflective. It's being accepting of the mistakes and the humility of life sometimes that takes you to your knees. But it's in those most challenging moments, in my experience certainly, that, you know, our potential shines so bright. I mean, look for yourself as you've moved into Sedona and you're living a life clearly full of purpose and how you've been able to rise. That is a sign of our own inner alignment. And I think a lot of times we make it kind of difficult, like, well, what is my purpose? And we're kind of critical. And I think if we just stay open to what brings us joy, you know, then we can start to uncover what our purpose is. But for me, it's that ability to awaken the potential of others. And you can't help others unless you are, you know, aligned and healthy within yourself. You know, otherwise it's not really authentic. So it's been a wonderful journey, and being able to do this for, I'm in my 29th year with my firm Aspire. And, you know, I never get bored, and I have attention deficit. So never getting bored is like, you know, that's like on a daily basis. But, you know, people are extraordinary, and it's such a gift to be able to support them.
Oh, awakening their potential. And it reminds me, I was watching one of the videos on your YouTube, and the very last thing that you said was, when you're all in on someone, you know they can count on you.
Yeah, I think this is like, this kind of captures the essence of relationship. So if you think of your best girlfriends, your best guy friends, your partner in your life, what you want to be, like for me, I just hung up right before I spoke to you. My daughter called, and she's going to turn 23 in a couple of weeks, and she graduated from college. She started her own clothing line, Darus Legacy, which is a comfy clothing thing, and it's a bold move. I mean, to start at 22, but here's what was beautiful. She called me because she has an important interview in a couple of hours, and she said, "May I just run some things by you?" And I think this is an example of, like for me, I had, because a lot of times I question my parenting and why did I say that? Or, oh my gosh, that didn't sound very supportive. And, you know, because as we get older, our needs with our parenting have to change with the needs of our child. Like, she's still my baby, but she is not a baby. She's a full-blown, amazing human. And, I think when someone knows that they're all in for you, and she knows I'm all in for her, that it gives a different kind of confidence in being able to be vulnerable or to say, Mom, what do you think about this? Or to have dialogue with another person. So I believe that, my signature on my email for decades has been all in. I believe that when we can be there with people, then we give them a safe space to become. And that's a really, we can become more and enjoy things in a bigger way.
Ooh, I love that so much. Now, when we're holding that space for them to become, what are some of the ways that you've been able to facilitate and help them just see that potential or help even guide that experience for them?
Well, I think, there's a number of things that come to mind. So the first is, I think that there's nothing like experience shares, people need to make their own decisions. They have to, be able to take in information and make choices based on what their values are. And so for myself, when you have years of experience, you can provide people with experiences that are of like situations. So someone might be trying to decide, they're making a big decision about something in their family, or they're making a big decision about a career move, or they're failing at something. I got lots of those experience shares. I think when we can, again, it goes back to being humble and vulnerable, and we share that space with someone, then they can really explore. And so I think sharing our experiences versus sharing our opinions is a really important way to help someone else make the choices that allow them to become who they want to become. Something my daughter said to me years ago, she was going through a difficult situation and she had a sign that she had made for herself, and it said, acceptance over expectation. And I just reminded her of that 20 minutes ago. And I said, you shared this with me when I was struggling with, some things that were going on in my personal life. And she said, Mom, is acceptance over expectation. And I think that's another way for us to be all in with each other is, we are all very different. And in a world right now that's, raging with anger, whether it's Mother Nature, who is really raging, and human beings are raging. We just have a lot of anger and energy on what I refer to in Head Trash is the disconnected side of our emotional brain. And the brain, we have our, I say we have a functional brain, that is operating our body, but we have an emotional brain that is running our life. And there's two sides of it. There's the connected side, which is where, your power is, your presence, your collaboration, your ability to listen, to solve the problem. And then you have the disconnected side, and that's where blame and shame is, and worry and fear and anxiety and anger. And we can't hear each other. And what's happening in the world right now is we've got a lot of people living in the disconnected side of their emotional brain. And I think as many people as possible, and this is why I work with leaders, because they have such a ripple effect. They're affecting not just themselves, but, so many other people, that where we can shift people to the connected side of their emotional brain, not only do we become more productive as organizations, but we become productive as humans. And we feel good when we're producing. Mm-hmm. We feel good because when we're producing, we're contributing. When we're producing, we're competent. When we're producing, we're alive. And so we really need to help people shift. And this goes back to acceptance over expectation, is that we have to learn to accept that, people are different. Diversity is not a committee. Diversity is a way of being. Diversity is a culture within an organization, and it's about accepting people. And it has broad implications when we just accept. And it's hard to do. I mean, I struggle with it too. And I always say that the true definition of compassion, of course, it's kindness and empathy. But the real definition is, I know I'm in compassion when I'm not judging another person. And that's hard.
Wow. I love that your daughter over the years, I mean, her being 23, she's been raised by you. She's become such a sponge for your knowledge of everything that you've learned on your journey. And it's just really neat to hear her, you know, giving that back to you in times of need. She has a bunch of tools in her tool belt. I love to hear that.
Yes, and she has taught me so much.
I bet.
The greatest lessons of my life have definitely come from my daughter and being a parent, and usually not being, you know, my best self as a parent, and, you know, saying, boy, I really wish I could have done that different. And then on the other side, you know, owning, you know, I've owned four companies over the last 20, almost 30 years now. And, you know, there have been magnificent successes, and I value them. But there have been magnificent failures and mistakes and moments that, you know, or longer than moments, days, weeks, where, you know, I have struggled. And I think this is what really allows us to be better leaders and to be, you know, like I'm so glad that, you know, my life's legacy wasn't defined by, you know, what I did when I was, you know, 25 years old. You know, I'd like to apologize to everyone, you know, like for my 25 year old self. I was just becoming. And I think this is, you know, the gift is that who we hang with is who we become. And surrounding myself with extraordinary peers in my business world, whether they were the people I've gotten to work beside and watch aspire onto other things, and those who are still working with me, as well as clients, and then on the home, the friends and family side, you know, I'm blessed with extraordinary women friends, extraordinary men in my life and family in my life, and I think, you know, when we can cultivate that, then we have more joy. And as I said, you know, joy to me is the definition. You know, I know if people say, you know, gosh, you've been successful. And I say, well, you know, success to me is how much joy. And there are some days where I'm not feeling very successful.
Oh, yeah. That reminds me, ask and it is given. There's one other book that's coming to mind for me right now where, no, actually, I believe it is that one. Have you read that book?
I haven't.
Lot of it is about that concept of, yeah, just how do we cultivate joy. It's Jerry and Esther Hicks who wrote that one, and yeah, I read it a couple months back, and it's true. I mean, if you have joy, everything else falls from that. And so then looking back on your journey, I'm really curious to hear, you know, it sounds like in your 20s at some point is when this like started to shift and you started to take back control, but what do you feel that point of no return was for you? Like, do you remember that moment where it's like, there is no continuing down this path? We've got to make a change. We've got to adjust.
Yeah. So there's many. I don't think there's only one. Ooh. You know, there were many imprints along the way that made me shift. You know, it was at a point in my life early on when my daughter Bella was young where I knew that my marriage was over, and that was a moment of shifting. And now who do I want to be with this person as a parent, and how do I want to raise a person who sees what love looks like, even though we're going to be one family, two houses, you know? And I think, you know, in my 20s, I had an extraordinary experience. One of my best friends got, you know, quickly diagnosed and had cervical cancer, which is, you know, was strictly, she hadn't had a pap smear in 7 years. And it was tragic, and she, you know, she passed. What was the gift, her legacy for me was not just health. I became extraordinarily health conscious, and still am to this day. But I think the bigger gift was it triggered experiences early on in my childhood. I lost a brother when I was 4 years old, and it woke up a part of my brain that I didn't remember much. And then I started to explore that. So that was like the first time where I started to get to know myself and why I was so driven and what passion, where this passion came from, that it was the legacy of my brother. It was that, he passed when he was just 18 months. And so all of a sudden, you know, when you're 4 years old, you don't like, how does someone die and not say goodbye? Like, what is death anyway? But what you get from that, that you lead with love, you show love because you don't know if you'll see someone again. And you also have, you know, imprints like, can I count on you? Which aren't such good things, right? You know, like, you know, can I trust? Can I, you know, so you have those. And then also, you know, it turned for me into this, you know, you better live because life can be gone. And that helped me explore why I was so naturally bold. And as a woman, people frequently were uncomfortable with that boldness. Mm. But I got to know it in such a healthy way. And when I say bold, I don't mean bold towards people. I mean bold within, like willing to take risks, willing to be really curious. I think another time where I had a major shift was I was in my 30s when I, early 30s, when I decided to start my business. My parents were not entrepreneurs. They were both teachers. And all of a sudden, I left corporate America and no longer wanted to do what I had been doing, didn't have a plan, and just, you know, kind of quit. And a dear friend of mine said, you should start your own firm. And I was like, what? And I had tossed around the idea of a business, but it had been with other people. And she said, if you're too afraid, Rini, I'll be your partner. And I remember, it's such a gift. And we're still friends to this day. Brenda Exline is her name. And I remember where we were sitting in this restaurant. And I looked at her and I thought to myself, well, hell, if she thinks I'm good enough to be her partner, I must be good enough to have my own firm. And I went off and did it. So there was another moment of, you know, making a shift. So I think life, and by the way, during these difficult times are when the door opens into the next chapter of your life. And I believe this is, you know, something that I try and lean on, even though it's hard when it's happening, is to lean into like, this too shall pass, because this door is closing and I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm worried, I'm afraid, you know, maybe something is happening, I'm way out of my control, and I'm full of fear. But if I can just say to myself, what's next? I can get over to the connected side of my emotional brain and I can start to do what, you know, this book you said, ask and you shall receive, or whatever that, I'm sorry, I don't recall it, but yeah. Basically we all can manifest. That's what, when we ask for what we want, or when we focus on, I say focus on what we want, what we focus on comes true. And so when we focus on the ugly or the past or the disappointment, that's what we get stuck in. But when we focus on what's next, what's this chapter going to open? And so when I was speaking to Bella, I was like, honey, you've got this, because there is no expectation here. Just put out there what you want and it will start to come towards you. Because when we, I think that's the hard part. It's answering the question, what do I want? And that has been, I'd say, the most difficult question in my life is this chapter might be ending, and what is it that I want next? Or to, and life isn't like the chapter closes in a, you know, there, all the chapters are on top of each other. It sure would be nice if it was like, and the end of the chapter, flip the page. But, you know, life and human beings are messy. And when we can answer what we want, we will gravitate towards it. But when we, you know, when we get stuck in what we don't want, then we get to keep what we don't want.
Oof. Yes. And now I'm just noticing your language, and even the just sprinkled in this entire episode, all these different scenarios, some good, some others can say like detrimental. to them. Mm-hmm. And you've always used the word gift. And I love that so much, because there really are two ways, two perspectives that we could take on everything that happens in our life. And you've, what you just said is exactly why you use that word, because you're like, yeah, you know what? We can feel the feelings. We can look at it and see it for what it is, but then we can use it as a gift to now venture in and call in what it is that we do want and allow that to be attracted to us. So I love that. And I just wanted to highlight that word is so beautiful. I'm going to adopt that now.
Oh, well, thank you. And you say it beautifully. I do think that that it is, it's an interesting dynamic. You know, we all want to grow as human beings. And I'm in a business, my work is about change. You know, we're a performance improvement company. Well, that's just about saying you're here and you need to go from this level to the next level. Well, that's about change. You're going to have to do something different. And change is uncomfortable. Change is messy. Change, sometimes you take a step backwards and then you go, what the heck am I doing? And you have to regroup, or you second guess yourself, or you make a decision and it's a wrong decision. But that is all the process of moving forward. And so, you know, listen, it's not that, you know, when I speak about my brother or, you know, years past, that there isn't sorrow and wonder and regret. It's just that, well, what is the real legacy? What is the real gift that Tommy gave me to live the rest of my life with? Or, you know, when I decided to leave corporate America because I, you know, quite frankly, I was a woman in corporate America in, you know, the early 1990s. I had grown up in corporate America in the 1980s. And, you know, there was sexism. I mean, there's no denying it. And there were difficult challenges. And I can remember, you know, walking into a meeting with Wall Street and being the only woman in the room, and people are asking me about, you know, what, you know, telling me, you know, what I have on is, you know, really attractive, you know. And I know that they're trying to compliment, but nobody's saying to the guy next to me, like, I like your tie. And there were these things of like, well, you know, I don't have an MBA, and, you know, I'm sitting with MBAs, and, well, you don't get an MBA, like, oh, you must not be smart enough, or, you know. And you can take on the negative, or you can say, well, I've got my MBA because I've stepped in so many piles of crap out there, that here's my MBA and here's how I look at this. And I think that's where we have to really help ourselves, going back to that emotional brain. How do you shift into the connected side of your emotional brain? Because that's where your power is. You cannot change people. They can only change by your influence on them. So you can influence people. So if I look at people and judge and say, you know, and I had this journey on January 6th, you know, of, you know, when we saw America go into craziness. And, you know, initially I was very judgmental, and then I had to stop watching the TV, because the first thing for change is look at your environment. And then I had to start to look at, you know, well, what is it that I need to understand about this different perspective that others have, and why do they have that perspective, and how can I help them feel better about a different perspective? Now, it doesn't mean denying that I disagreed with certain decisions, or denying my own beliefs, or but anger doesn't shift us into productivity. Anger actually increases our stress. And what we know about the emotional brain is that when we have high levels of emotional stress, so imagine an arrow going up, that's your emotional stress going up, we have chaos. And chaos is like we can't get any clarity. So we have chaos, and that actually decreases productivity, productive conversation, productive action. It decreases our productivity. It makes us weaker. And that all lives in the disconnected side of your emotional brain. The antithesis, Jamie, is true. So if we have an arrow and we write on a piece of paper, an arrow going down, you decrease your emotional stress. Now you gain clarity. So think of an arrow going across. You gain clarity instead of chaos. When we have clarity, we have understanding. We have an ability to see where things can go. And that leads an arrow pointing up, which is productive action, productive conversation, you know, and that's where we feel competent. And when we feel competent, and what's happening in the world right now is we just feel vulnerable all the time and weak and worried. And we have to have leaders that can, this is not about placating. This is about helping us get to the table with less stress. And when we can do that, then we can have collaboration. We can understand that no decision is without give and take. You know, yet in your own relationship, Jamie, you have to give and take. You know, your partner is not always in agreement. And so we have to find some common ground, and we have to do this in government. We have to do this in the world. We have to do, and, but I think, you know, because people say, well, you know, the government's going to do what the government's going to do. And I say, well, you know what? If each of us just takes ownership in bringing people together just with what we can do, with what we can influence, now we start to help people dump their head trash. And head trash, the reason it's the leading killer of human potential is because it minimizes us. It's those nasty voices in our head. It undermines us. And if you and I are trying to solve something and we both are in our head in that disconnected side, we go nowhere. So one of us has to be in the connected side of our emotional brain so we can rise.
Wow. Okay. So then if we're looking at the whole, so the humans that are walking the earth right now, I feel so many have settled and stopped living. Like stopped trying to open what might be the next chapter of their life, or they've opened the chapter and they're like, nope, can't do that, and they have that head trash spinning around of all the reasons they can't do it. Mm. So the idea here is by us owning our potential and showing up in our influence, like we can influence others by stepping into our power.
Mm. Yes.
And being in that connected side of our brain.
So I think what you're talking about really goes what we call stuck questions versus shift questions. And actually, these are on my website, Powered by Rini. There's no hook or anything like that. You just go to resources and you can get these questions. But there's two types of questions. So the quality of our life is actually about the questions we ask ourselves. Because you feel the way you think. F comes before T. I feel the way I think. Well, my thoughts are driven by the questions I ask myself. So if I ask myself what we call stuck questions, I get stuck in the disconnected side. Why did this happen? Or on January the 6th, who are these people? What's wrong with them? You know, those, I get stuck in the problem, because problems and adversity live on the disconnected side of our emotional brain. But if I start asking myself what we call shift questions shift us to the connected side. So a question where, you know, I think where you're saying like a lot of people are confused, COVID made a mess of us because we came to realize we don't have control, which is a terrible thing for human beings because we're all control freaks. It's just, you might like to control things that I don't like to control. So I look at you when you're controlling something and I'm like, you're such a control freak, but it's just because I don't care about controlling that. You know, we all have our control things, you know? And so, but when we start to understand that we actually get our power in that connected side. So now the question is, what do I need to understand here? Is a great question that helped me shift on January the 6th. And I use that because that's an extreme day. And a lot of times we're in extreme situations in our own life. I love the question, what matters most? That helps me, like so when my company, something is going wrong, instead of saying, what happened here? I ask the question, so what is most important for me to understand so we can move forward? If I ask what happened here, I keep everyone stuck in the problem. But if they give me what I need to understand so I can help them move forward, we're going to all shift to the connected side where the solution is. If I have a question like, who do I want to be right now? So let's say my husband and I are, you know, having a different perspective. In other words, he's wrong and I'm right. And and I'm getting on my horse and I'm probably not communicating. If I can just get myself to breathe for a minute and think, who do I want to be right now? Well, the odds are I don't want to be who I'm being right now. And it helps me shift. And so on the website, there are a ton of great shift questions. Another one that I love is, what's the first thing I can do to improve this situation? And that's a great question because, you know, you have a 3-year-old, Kylo?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, he's having a moment because he's exploring who he is right now. And, so the first question might be, you know, who do I want to be right now? Because, like, can you give a child a timeout for a week? Is that a legal thing? No, right? You really can't. Right. But, you know, so, and then you can say, well, what's the first thing I can do to help right now? And that shifts you into that connected side where your best parenting moment is going to be. And sometimes it's, you know, I think Kylo, it'd be good for you to have a timeout. And then they lose it. But the reason you have a timeout is it lets them get all that out so they get to the connected side of their emotional brain, because usually they wear themselves out in 15 minutes, right?
Totally.
And then you can have a productive conversation of, so tell me what you really want. And now you're shifting him into the connected side of his emotional brain. So the beauty of shift questions is they work in every aspect of our life. They work as leaders. They work when I'm, you know, on stage and I'm, you know, finding maybe I'm not, you know, in my best moment, or I'm wanting to share something and I just need to get to the connected side of my emotional brain. You know, all of a sudden, you know, you're in speaker's help because your mic goes out and there are the lights, you're in the dark, you know, things happen, right? And if you say, you know, why is this happening? You know, who's the AV guy that screwed this up? Like, that throws you into the disconnected side. Versus if you say, you know, what can I do in this moment to engage the audience? And if my brain goes, what can I do in this moment to engage the audience? I'll likely say, well, I can't see you, but you can still hear me. So let's just keep moving forward, right? Or something that's light, or, you know. So those of you who are trying to exit this room right now, I can still see you. Like you all of a sudden, but it's how we think that determines how we feel. And how we feel is then how we act. So that goes back to those arrows with emotional stress. So if we feel lots of stress, that's how we're going to react. We're going to react. But if we don't feel stress, we're going to respond. And a response is always better.
Wow. Wow. So these questions will show you on your website. So there's the stuck example, and then there's the shift example of what we can try instead. Oh, I'm going to go memorize all of these. I can't wait.
You know, it's so funny you say that, because I tell people, I take my like 4 or 5 favorite shift questions and I stick them, I have them like in my pretend virtual pocket. And when I feel myself getting, whether it's stressed, I mean, it could literally be in the grocery store line. You know, I have people coming over. I forgot butter. I ran down there. And, you know, now, of course, there's going to be lines. And, you know, the person doesn't get the credit card out in front of me and I want to lose it, because they're wasting 2 more minutes of my time. And I can just like pull it out of my pocket and go, who do I want to be right now? Because getting annoyed with this poor person who just doesn't have it together isn't going to help them get it together. But of course, in that moment, I'm feeling annoyed. So you know, it's not to deny how we feel. It's to help us shift out of it so we can not live in the disconnected side. And where we see people judging and blaming and shaming, which we see so much of on the media, in social media, as well as on TV, in politics, the problem with blame and shame is that we're bringing people into the disconnected side of their emotional brain. And honestly, that should be against the law. And we do it as parents too, by the way. So I recently put out, it's called the Joy Journal, and it's just five questions, and I'll share them with you. But these five questions came from parenting, because I noticed that sometimes I would throw my own daughter into the disconnected side of her emotional brain before I dropped her off at school. Mm-hmm. Now, like, I didn't do it on purpose, but I would get up in the morning. I'd, you know, I have a global company, so someone likely did something somewhere in the world that is annoying to me because I'm reading my email first thing in the morning. So, and then, you know, then I go downstairs and I realize, oh, I only have one egg and she likes two scrambled, or I don't have any eggs or whatever it is. And now I'm waiting, you know, I'm trying to figure out breakfast and I'm trying to get her lunch packed. And then she comes downstairs and she's not dressed. And I'm like, why aren't you dressed? I just threw her into the disconnected side of her emotional brain. Mm. And because I'm all stressed out. And so I had to learn how to manifest joy every single morning so that I could be the kind of woman I wanted to be, the kind of parent I wanted to be, the kind of leader I wanted to be, and quite frankly, human being. And, you know, I wear a lot of roles and hats like we all do. And so I started asking myself, initially it was four questions, but my mentor, Peter Thomas, added a fifth question that I embraced during COVID, and it is, what's your word of the day? So that's the first question I ask myself every day. And like today, my word of the day is inspired, because I was coaching several of the C-suite that I work with this morning, and then meeting with you. I have another interview later on today, so that was my word. Some days it's productive, some days it's focused, some days it's love. Sunday is my love day because I'm with my family. It gives you an intention for the day. And the second question is, what head trash do I need to dump from yesterday? And the reason that's there is because we don't want to deny things that are in the disconnected side of our emotional brain. We want to own them, because then when we own them, we can shift out of them. They don't control us. Yeah. And so if there was any head trash, you want to just acknowledge it. You don't need to get into it. Just acknowledge it. The third question is, what did I accomplish yesterday? So accomplished feels productive. Productive makes us feel competent. Competent makes us feel confident. Like, it's in the connected side of our emotional brain. And then the fourth question is, what is most important for me to focus on today? And some days, like this morning, it was prepare for all of my meetings. I'm traveling. I have a keynote in Vegas on Sunday. So it was prep for all of that. And I'm traveling next week. After Vegas, I go to the East Coast. And so it was, you know, to just prepare and organize. And that's what I have, you know. Some days it's hang out with my family and be present, you know, because it's Sunday and I'm going to watch football because that's what my husband likes to do. And, you know, just be available and cook and do my thing. And then the last question is, what am I grateful for? And gratitude is ultimately what allows us to recognize joy. And so, and that's a great question right before you go to bed too. It decreases your emotional stress.
I love these so much.
Thank you. Yeah, well, they're tried and true. You know, we have a research company called the RCI Institute, and we study human behavior. That's another company that I own. But these were studying my own behavior, because when I could really get up in the morning, I do my 5 minutes. The Joy Journal takes you 5 minutes, mm-hmm. and less than 5 minutes. And sometimes, you know, that's all I've got. And, you know, normally I start my morning with meditation and yoga, but there's some days where I only have 5 minutes, and I give myself that 5 minutes to get on the connected side. And that would allow me to be more effective. So when Bella came down and she wasn't fully dressed, I'd say, hey, darling, before you eat, I'd like you to go back upstairs. You know our agreement, versus why aren't you dressed? You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, why aren't you dressed? And oh my God, we're running late. And then, and there's crazy. I've thrown her in the disconnected side of her emotional brain. I go to drop off and then I say, have a good day. And I can't figure out why the, you know, teacher told me she wasn't very focused this morning. I had plenty to do with that. You know, it's hard enough being a kid We want to send them off where they're in the connected side of their emotional brain, where all their power and joy is. And they'll also have compassion in that side. And that's where kindness is. And there's nothing more important for children to learn. Aspire, my firm, we work very closely with the Be Kind People Project, an amazing organization here in Phoenix, so in Arizona. But they're all around the nation, and they teach kindness to children. And really, that's about helping kids get to the connected side of their emotional brain.
I love how it has so much to do with you. You. Mm. It's not asking her to be any different or change or, but we're inspiring that by how we're showing up in our connected side of the brain. So I'm really excited to try these prompts. And it reminds me, I didn't have a name for it, but last night when I was making dinner, it was one of those nights where like I spilled the sauce all over the place, and then I was making enchiladas and like forgot to put the seasoning. I was like from scratch making them, and I forgot to put the seasoning in them. And I was like, okay, what should I do about that? I could either undo all of them, which sounds like a nightmare. I don't think I should do that. Or I just sprinkle the seasoning on top of them and just hope that it tastes good. And you know, just rolled with that one, and it ended up tasting great. You know, so we're gonna have that for lunch in a little bit. But yeah,
it was a good shift question.
Exactly, it was like, okay, well, you know, what can I do right now that's gonna save dinner? And so
exactly, it's very actionable. Versus right, instead of why did I do that? Like, what does that help? It just makes
it
you feel guilty and worried, and yeah, of course, it crosses our mind. Yeah, that's why we say to dump your head trash, you have to own it and shift it. So owning it. So yeah, it's owning that thought. Like, why did I do this? Okay. It's just don't get stuck in there. Shift.
Yes.
What is a better question for me? Because then I'm going to get to where, where you can solve the problem. And who knows, maybe it's better sprinkled all over. Because, I think sometimes the outside is kind of boring of an enchilada.
Yeah, right.
You may
exactly.
have solved the
we
bigger
found
problem.
A new way. Yeah, it's true. And that's so wild. Yeah, that's true. By owning it and by going into the connected brain, we can solve bigger problems. I love
Absolutely.
That. Absolutely. Wow. I can't wait for everyone listening to get their hands on your book. Please, where can you be found? Where can they find your book?
Okay.
Just share all the goodies so we can connect with you.
Thank you. So the book is Head Trash, The Leading Killer of Human Potential by Rini Cavallari. And it can, both books actually can be found on Amazon. You can also go to the Powered by Rini, and it's Powered by Rini, RENIE.com. And if you go on the site, you can click on the books. There's the Joy Journal is there. And oh, by the way, the Joy Journal has no dates. So it's a 90-day journal, and it asks you the 5 questions. It's got poems, and it talks about the brain a little bit. So it gives you like some of the context we've talked about. But there's a place where you input the date. And the reason is because there's some days I don't get to it and I don't forget, and it made me feel guilty. So I don't even put a date. You put the date in so you don't even have to feel guilty, because guilt is in the disconnected side of your emotional brain. Mm. But anyway, Powered by Rini, you can see both books. Actually, I've written other books, so all the books are there. And then go to resources, and there's resources for Head Trash, and there's resources for the Joy Journal. Obviously, your podcast is going to be there as well. And so, yeah, there's tons of free resources that you and we don't sell your name. There's no other stuff going on. We don't want you to worry. We're just there to help you get to the connected side of your emotional brain, because that is where your power is. And we want people to be powerful. We want them to be productive and to awaken their potential.
Thank you so much. And I'll make sure to link those below as well. Now, before we wrap things up here, is there anything else you're feeling called to share or leave with the listener today?
Well, I just want to thank you. I think it's beautiful that you are out there helping people align themselves and find their purpose and explore. I think that's the beauty of being a human being, is that we get to evolve, and evolution is a choice. And we make that choice every single day. Who do I want to be today? And how do I want to live today? And, you know, I find choice is the greatest freedom of all. And that when we understand that we have that power to choose how our day is going to be, who we're going to hang with, what we're going to learn, how we're going to recover from the disappointment of whatever happened, you know, and navigate, because life is tricky. Like I said, you know, us humans, we're messy, but we have the power to choose and to evolve.
So beautifully said. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.